When they found him, that is Jesus, on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign will then you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All whom the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I shall raise them up at the last day." At this the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How could he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one who has ever seen the Father except the Son who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which people may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. We had an interesting thing happen this last week in the church, in the office. We had a donation given to us by another congregation that had gotten a whole bunch of bread that they were not able to use, so they gave it to us so that we could use it with our deacon's food pantry and give it away to folks who are in need in our community. We had six boxes full, and being kind of the quirky guy that I am, I began to look through and see what was there and discovered there were over two dozen different types of bread in these six boxes. There was sliced bread, such as classic white, country white, French toast bread, 100% whole wheat, 8 grain and seed bread, organic pro seed bread, healthy grains bread, nuts and grain bread, potato enriched bread, and baked sourdough. There were rolls. Tolera rolls, bolillo rolls, harvest grain rolls, roasted onion rolls, three cheese and fig rolls. And there were loaves in there too, a sourdough bread bowl, focaccia bread, Italian round loaf, Kalamata olive, Asagio cheese, Como Italian, Renaissance grain, and something called artisan Dutch crunch. And if that wasn't enough, there were hot dog buns to boot. What kind of bread do you want? We got it. What kind of bread are you looking for? In our scripture today, Jesus confronted a huge crowd of people who were looking for bread. They had just been fed miraculously by Jesus, who had used just 5 barley loaves to feed over 5,000 people. And Jesus forces those in the crowd that come back to him to ask themselves, what kind of bread am I really looking for? And for those who will hear it, it is a question that Jesus asks today. What bread do you really want? Jesus asks, what do you really need from me? So we're continuing our Lent series, looking at the claims of Christ captured in these series of I Am statements made by Jesus. And today we are looking at Jesus proclaiming, I am the bread of life. And specifically, I want us to look at the source of the bread of life, the nourishment of the bread of life, the delivery of the bread of life, and the eating of the bread of life. So we're going to look at the source, the nourishment, the delivery, and the eating of the bread of life. First, the source. You know, knowing which bakery bread comes from will reveal something about the bread, right? Well, knowing where Jesus comes from reveals much about Jesus. Throughout his sermon, as Jesus claims to be the bread of life, Jesus also tells us that he has been sent from God the Father. Verse 32, in part, Jesus says to them, "It is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And then later in verse 50 in his sermon, he says, "But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven." So, where is Jesus from? A half dozen times or more, Jesus repeats that he has come from heaven. Why? Well, Jesus doesn't have a stuttering problem. Jesus doesn't have, he's not suffering from short-term memory loss, and he can't remember that he's just said it, so he repeats himself over and over again. Jesus repeats this, that he's come from heaven, because it is important for you and for me to know. The question, where do you come from, reveals a lot about a person. That's why the skeptical Jewish leaders grumble and they complain at Jesus' audacious claim. How can he be from heaven when we know his parents, Joe and Mary, from the next town over, they ask? How we answer the question of where Jesus is from tells us about his identity, his authority, and his mission. Being from heaven reveals Jesus' identity. Verse 46, "No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father." Jesus actually claims to be from God and to have seen God the Father, which means either Jesus is lying, or he's a total lunatic, or Jesus is God the Son, the one who is one with God the Father and God the Spirit. Jesus, the bread of life, is fully human. In fact, you could argue he's more human than you and I are. And yet, in the mystery that we celebrate at Christmas, Jesus is also fully divine, the eternal Son of God sent to us. Being from heaven reveals not only Jesus' identity, but also, too, his authority. Verse 27, he tells us, "Do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Since many people during the first century time period that Jesus lived in were illiterate, often stamps were placed into wax that was put on something to show who owned it. Moreover, a seal in wax authenticated a document bearing a particular person's authority and their approval. Because Jesus is from heaven, Jesus comes with the stamp, the seal of authority and approval from God the Father. And being from heaven also reveals Jesus' mission. Verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at that last day." Jesus comes from heaven with the authority of God the Father to do and complete everything the Father wants done, to hold on to everyone entrust him or herself to Jesus and to deliver them through the resurrection from death into the fullness of life in the fullness of time. And that leads us then from the source of the bread of life, which is God the Father in heaven, to the nourishment of the bread of life, which is life eternal. Bread is supposed to nourish us. I know we don't always think of bread as being nourishing in our time because, well, frankly, a lot of it is all this bleached flour and all the preservatives and additives that are there. So you can get some of these loaves of white bread that never seem to get moldy. They're like Twinkies that'll live on your shelf forever. But bread, as God intended it to be, was meant to be nourishing. And in a first century Middle Eastern culture, even more than ours, bread was a staple of daily life, a staple of the diet. The crowds who were fed miraculously by Jesus, they wanted more from him. But their desires are shallow and short-sighted. So Jesus answers them in verse 26, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." In other words, Jesus says, I know why you're here. I know what you're doing here. And it isn't really about me. Jesus still asks the question. In fact, he may be asking you and me right now. Why are you here? Why are you here this morning? Are you just here for the food? To enjoy the music? Because you like some of the people? Are you looking for an encouraging message? Or are you here, Jesus asks, for what you think I might give you and do for you? Or are you here for me? We might expand this and ask, if we are not seeking Jesus and Jesus alone, the bread of life, what other types of bread do we pursue? Because you see, we all have hunger that goes beyond just an empty stomach. We hunger for value and for worth, for knowing that we matter. We hunger for security even amidst our vulnerabilities, for the ability to be intimate with and to be known by another and yet to somehow be safe in that. We hunger for the freedom to be imperfect, to be comfortable in our own skin, to be able to grow into the people we're created to be. We hunger for purpose, to have a sense of why we were put on this planet in the first place. And again, what kinds of bread then do we look to for nourishment, to meet these and other deep hungers? For some of us, we look to the bread of success, of achievement, of accomplishment, thinking somehow that might give us worth and value. Or we maybe look to the bread of popularity, of affirmation. We want appreciation or recognition from others. Maybe we look to the bread of security. If we can just get enough to that place where we're comfortable, where life has a sense of ease. Maybe we look to the bread of religion and all that it might give us. But Jesus says to us quite literally, I am the bread of the life. Jesus is not just bread, but the bread. And this bread has within it not just some life, but the life. Jesus is claiming that in himself, in his own person, he is all that you and I truly hunger for. So verse 47 says, very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of the life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and yet they died, but here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Now, if you were with us a couple weeks ago, you might recall that we talked about how the word life is an important word, not only in the New Testament, but particularly in the Gospel of John. There are two words that are often used for life in the language of the New Testament. One is the word bios, where we get our English word biology. It refers to body life, biological life, physical, earthly, fleshy life. But there's another word group that's even more important, the noun zoe for life, or the word zao for living. It refers to supernatural life, spiritual life. It's eternal life. It's life received from Christ, experienced in Christ. And so John 6, 57, we hear Jesus in his sermon say, just as the living, Zao, Father, sent me, I live, Zao, because of the Father. The one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever lives, feeds on this bread will live. Zoe, Zao, forever. See, here's the thing about Zoe. It's a new quality of life, not just a quantity of life. It's not just a perfected bios that goes on forever. But in fact, Zoe is everlasting, not just everlasting life, but eternal life. It's indestructible life, for it flows from the very life of God. It is life as God intended it for you. Life in mysterious union with God, from whom flows infinite love and joy and peace. Zoe is what we hunger for. And we never go hungry when Jesus nourishes us. Verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus feeds our deepest and truest hungers with fare that will truly satisfy. But how do we get this bread? How is the bread of life delivered to us? Well, first, Jesus always comes to us first. We've already seen that Jesus repeatedly says he's the bread of life that came down from heaven. That means that heavenly life is near us, with us, and for us. How has Jesus perhaps even come to you this week? Do you know that he has? If you were to replay the last 7 days or so in your mind, kind of let it rewind like a movie, are there places where you can identify that Jesus was in fact coming to you? Perhaps through a prayer that was answered? Perhaps Jesus was coming to you through circumstances in your life that came together and you look at that and go, that couldn't be coincidence. Perhaps Jesus was coming to you through the love of a friend or the gift that was given to you. Was Jesus coming to you through providing for you financially, answering your prayer, give us this day our daily bread? Was Jesus coming to you through growing in you the fruit of the Spirit, where you were experiencing love and joy and peace and all that the Spirit would give? Maybe you experienced Jesus coming to you through reconciliation with someone that you had been having trouble with, and that relationship was restored. That is a work of Jesus. See, on our own, we are never going to reach God. So in love, God comes to us in Jesus Christ in myriad ways, even now, even in this moment. He may be coming to you. And then only after Jesus first comes to us do we come to Jesus. It's significant that Jesus doesn't tell us how to come. You're invited to simply come as you are, right now, right here. There are no prerequisites to be met, no particulars to be followed. You don't have to prove yourself first with all sorts of religious calisthenics. Come to Jesus knowing that he is already at work in you with a powerful force drawing you to Jesus. In fact, in verse 44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day." See, this is not about exclusion, who is drawn to Jesus and who is not. This is assurance. This is good news. That your desire to come to Jesus results from work that God is already doing in you. Can you feel it? Do you have a sense this morning that God is drawing you? You know, we could actually literally translate Jesus' words to say, "No one can come to me unless the Father drags them or hauls them." Because some of us can feel that as though we're being drawn to God with our heels dug in and creating two lines in the carpet. How are you going to respond? The source of the bread of life is the Father in heaven. The nourishment of the bread of life is life eternal. The delivery of the bread of life is our coming to the one who first comes to us and to whom the Father draws us. And finally, the eating of the bread of life is our actively trusting Jesus. Verse 28, the crowds asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And people are always asking, what are the things that we can do to get right with God? Because we like to show ourselves. We like to prove our worth. We like to think that we've got a little bit of control in this whole process. It's easier on the pride that way. What are the works God requires, they ask. Jesus says there is but one singular work, to believe. Working is believing. Not just holding beliefs in our heads, things to be true, but trusting, having faith, entrusting ourselves to Jesus. Faith is not our bringing something to God. Faith is our coming to God empty and hungry that we might be filled with Christ and God's grace. Our believing is our receiving and responding with trust to God's self-revelation to us in Christ. Genuine acts of faith are always a response to God's acts of self-revelation. The faith journey is meant to be an ongoing relationship and interactions of divine disclosures and our responses that go ever deeper and deeper. Jesus says in verse 47, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life." Do you believe? Jesus equates working with believing, and then he equates believing with eating. In doing so, Jesus creates a crisis of faith in his audience by using what really is nothing short of cannibalistic language. He pushes them to realize the radical natures of his claims, because Jesus is not just another religious teacher. Verse 53, he says to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood," and get this, "remains in me and I in them." I want you to consider with me what happens when you eat. I mean, you did it this morning, I assume. You had something for breakfast. Later today, you're going to maybe go out to lunch or go home and have something to eat. What happens in this mysterious action of our eating? How does your relationship with food change when you eat it? See, we cannot not eat. Eating is essential for life, both physical and spiritual. When we eat our food, we are doing nothing short of taking foreign matter and putting it inside of our bodies. We're actually completely dependent upon things outside of us coming into us in order to sustain us and let us live. And so in that, there's a sense where eating is an act of surrender and of submission. We allow what we put into us to affect us, for better or for worse. We've all eaten things that we probably shouldn't have, right? And it doesn't go well. And not everything is edible. But we trust that what we eat will be good for us, like bread. Bread does me no good if it sits on the shelf. Bread only gives nourishment and life when ingested and digested. It must become a part of me. Jesus doesn't give us life separately and independently. He gives us himself, for in him is life. To eat Jesus' flesh and to drink Jesus' blood is to take into us his very life. Jesus is life. So for us to have life, we must have Jesus, and he must have us. Last week, Matt kind of gently teased me about the fact that I like to quote John Calvin. So here we go. Here's Calvin on this. "How do we receive those benefits which the Father bestowed on his only begotten Son? Not for Christ's own private use, but that he might enrich poor and needy men. First, we must understand that as long as Christ remains outside of us and we are separated from him, all that he has suffered and done for the salvation of the human race remains useless and of no value to us. Therefore, to share with us what he has received from the Father, he had to become ours and to dwell within us." This morning, I want to give you an invitation. Respond to God's work in the world and in you. Respond to God's drawing you that some of you I know are even feeling right now. Perhaps God is dragging you to Jesus Christ. Do the work that God requires. Receive Christ. Be fed and nourished in your soul by eating and drinking Christ. Allow Christ to enter into your life and to grace you with Zoe, new and eternal life. You know, the sacraments of the church are not an additional or secondary way of salvation. The sacrament of communion, in fact, is simply Jesus' one way of salvation, scaled down and physicalized and individualized and simplified and concretized for us. Jesus was eminently wise when he instituted the sacraments for us, because Jesus knew that we not only need spiritual things, but physical things in order to grasp him more easily and to come to him more specifically. And so this morning, we're going to celebrate the sacrament of communion. And I want you to take it seriously. I want you to hear an invitation this morning to come and to receive the bread and the cup. But more than that, to not just allow these elements of bread and the juice that's here to enter into your body and to become part of you and to nourish you physically, but I want to invite you to allow Jesus, who is the bread of life, to enter into you. Would you respond to his invitation? Would you respond to his already coming to you? Would you respond to his drawing you right now by allowing him to enter in? This is the invitation that is given to all who have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You're invited to receive the gifts of this table, not because all of your hungers have been satisfied, but because they have not, and because you long to be fed by the bread of life. Let me invite Ray to come back and the elders to come forward at this time. And as they are coming forward, let me invite each of you to pray with me, please. Let us pray together. Our Lord and our God, we hear you this morning. We hear you speaking to us, inviting us to come to you, and to be fed by you. Lord, I would pray that today as we receive these elements from your table, this bread and the cup that is set before us, that indeed we'd not just receive a physical token of your grace, but even more than that, through the mystery of this meal, we would be receiving you, because in you is life, eternal life, the life for which we were created. We want that. Lord, feed us today, we ask. To that end, please take these ordinary elements of bread and cup set before us. Through the power of your Spirit, would you consecrate them and make them holy to be used by you to feed us body and soul in these moments now. For this we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, the host of this table.